I don't know. Maybe someday Mark Chimes will teach me how to play this if I could feel my fingertips. Anyway, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome to the show. Good to have you with us. Tanner Saunders is the man behind the glass making the magic happen. And you have your cell phone handy? All right. It's 12 minutes after 2 o'clock at News Radio 930 WBEN. And in just a few moments, we're going to be treated to emergency broadcast radio. Let's see. Hold on here. Sorry about this, guys. Hold on. Sorry. Okay, sorry. But anyway, in case, sorry, that was a foreign language. I was speaking in tongues like Tua from the Miami Dolphins, but without any religious significance whatsoever. In my case, I was just babbling relentlessly. So anyway, let's just move on, shall we? We are going to be treated. Where did it go? I've had this email like popped up all day long, and now it decides to desert me. It decides to forsake me when I most am in need of the email for which I am looking. You got to be bloody kidding me. All right, here it is. Boy, does Tim Wenger ever text early in the morning? Holy cow. But anyway, here's the deal. I'm going to read a little email here from Tim Wenger of the first family of Buffalo Broadcasting, both Tim and his bride, Susan Rose, members of the Buffalo Broadcast Hall of Fame. Tanner Saunders, no doubt, will be before too long. So we're going to see how the test goes off later today. But it's interesting that a lot of people have their phones in silent mode, maybe on vibrate, and never hear calls or alerts in real time. It's the web poll today at WBEN.com. As much as we are immersed in our cell phones, many of us put them on silent and don't want those around us interrupted every time we get a message. As for when this system should be used, people have opinions that Poland Cars was quick to comment on it and tweet about the alert, but it wasn't used for the blizzard. He said, maybe it would be next time. And by the way, that's one of the things that I, in our post-action report of our coverage of the blizzard, said, if you're not going to activate the EAS for the blizzard of 22, if you're not going to close down the city at midnight before the snow hits, of what use is the EAS? Now, I also think, in defense of Poland Cars and Mayor Brown and all the other local politicians of whatever party, that in the post-COVID era, nobody wanted to be Scrooge taking Christmas away. Nobody wanted to be that individual because it was so close to Christmas, as you well remember. But I should have been, to my own discredit, I should have been very adamant on the air and jumped up and down and said, hey, Mr. County Executive, hey, Al, I actually figured it out. Said, hey, Mr. County Executive, hey, Mr. Mayor, this would be the time to activate the emergency alert system, and this would be the time to shut down the city at midnight so we don't get people stranded on the roads. I failed to do that, and I should have, because I'm sorry, but in some respects, I've got a little more common sense than some of the people in public office. And I happen to be very, very friendly with Byron Brown. Mark Poland Cars would probably light me on fire if he had the opportunity to do so. And I mean, literally, like Joan of Arc me, you know, I mean, like, how's Tom today? Well, he seems to be very well done. So you might be surprised when your cell phone starts going nuts on you. And that's when reality should settle in as we realize how unplugged many people really are. Like, my mom just turned 90 years old, and I'm going to presume her cell phone is on. And when her cell phone starts going nuts, she's going to freak out. She's going to not know exactly what is going on. Now, may I just share some brief observations on our nationwide emergency alert system? Okay, first of all, it's an anachronism, okay? It is an anachronism, and I know it might sound weird saying that something is out of time in date or place because of technology when you're talking about cell phones. But in the event of an electromagnetic pulse attack on America, your cell phone isn't going to work. Okay, your radio probably won't work unless you've got a special fancy radio. That's a Buffalo A. I'm sorry. I'm trying to lose the Buffalo A, but sometimes I just enjoy using it. Maybe you've got like a wind-up radio or something like that. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. But in the event of an EMP attack, your cell phone is going to be dead because of electromagnetic pulse. Sometimes, guys and ladies, the old ways, the tried and true ways are the best. Now, check this out. Instead of the emergency alert system on radio or TV or cell phone or anything like that, does anybody else remember the old civil defense sirens in your neighborhood? Now, Tanner is looking at me like I just stepped off the spaceship from Uranus. Literally, Uranus. And he is he's perplexed. He's giving me a look of great consternation. Tanner Saunders, my dear young man, in the old days, every neighborhood had a civil defense siren. And it was like, you ever watch the World War II movies of the Blitz in London and you hear, okay, it was those kind of things. And maybe once every summer, the civil defense siren would go off. Now you're thinking to yourself, yeah, but that's going to be powered by electricity, which is going to be taken out by an EMP. But what if you, and I don't know the answer to this, I'm not an electrical engineer, but what if you had civil defense sirens hooked up to solar panels? Wouldn't that mitigate or eliminate the risk of EMPs in terms of letting people know there's some heavy stuff going down? And do you, I'm just kind of curious, do you pay attention to the emergency alert system tests? Because we do them, Tanner, it seems like once every week we do them during this show, does it not? I know that that's not the official schedule. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is my cell phone. There we go. This is only a test, folks. Your guys are a minute and a half early, by the way. It was supposed to be 2:20. Apparently, our clocks work better than the government clocks. And let me just read what I just got. This is a test of the National Wireless Emergency Alert System. The purpose is to maintain and improve alert and warning capabilities at the federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial levels, and to evaluate the nation's public alert and warning capabilities. No action is required by the public. So your phone just went nuts. How many of you, I'm just kind of curious, we might have some people just tuning in late, not aware of the whole preamble to this conversation, but what do you think? Was the test worthy? Was it worthwhile? And frankly, I have set my phone, and don't hate me for this, so I don't get the Amber Alert alerts, because the past couple of times, well, before I disabled it on my phone, it was like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd get some emergency alert, Amber Alert, about some kid kidnapped from Peekskill, New York. And me being in bed in Buffalo, I'm sorry, I can't help the kid that got kidnapped in Peekskill. I can't do it, all right? Not going to get out of the car and cruise around and play cop. I mean, sorry, it's just not my bag. So anyway, the emergency alert system. Can you think of a better way of getting information to people that all hell is breaking loose? I mean, in the old days, and I can't legally play the sound effect of this, believe it or not, I cannot even play the sound effect of the old EBS tone that is actually a violation of Federal Communications Commission policy. I can't even play it as an exemplar. True story. I read our memos from the legal department here at Odyssey. But I can certainly imitate them. In the old days, it used to be it used to be like the two tones. You ever see Mel Gibson in Signs? Remember that movie about the crop circles and the aliens that you killed by throwing water on them? Okay. But it had to be holy water from Mel Gibson's hot tub. And that was my understanding. Maybe I missed something in the movie. But in the old days, it was like this two-tone system that was designed so even those hard of hearing would be able to understand what was going on in the world. Is there a better way to let people know what's going on in the event of an emergency? Because I got to tell you, I'm not real impressed with this cell phone warning system. In fact, I intentionally put my telephone on. I usually mute it when I'm on the air. Sometimes, as you guys know, I forget, and you'll hear with like somebody calling me off the air. I'm like, oh, geez, not now, not now. Who would be calling me? But anyway, so yeah, that's the situation. Honest to goodness, do you pay attention to your emergency alert stuff? If, for example, let's put this into practical terms, if we may. Do you pay attention? Like, if during the blizzard of 2022, prior to the blizzard hitting, what do you believe would have happened if Mark Poloncarz or the National Weather Service had said, please activate EAS? And believe it or not, I have worked, this goes back to the days working at the old radio station, which is now a sports radio station. There were times, like with tornado situations, with tornadic weather, and sometimes I think with blizzard weather, where we were actually requested by a government agency to activate the emergency alert system. We may actually have even done it here, but we're only allowed legally to do it when authorized to do so by a governmental agency with the powers and the authority to ask us to do it and then to do it. And the other thing that always got me too about the emergency broadcast system when we were younger and now the emergency alert system, let's just say, okay, hypotheticals here, hypotheticals. Let's just say that NORAD picks up a massive Russian missile launch against the United States. We're talking multiple tip ICBMs, okay? What are you going to do? What sense would it make? I don't mean to be all apocalyptic on you guys, but tell me something. What sense would it make? Let's say we have 15-minute warning, all right? Cuban missile crisis, we had 5 minutes warning. If the Soviets had launched missiles from Cuba, 5 minutes of warning, whether you were in Washington, D.C., Tampa, Florida, or just south of Seattle, Washington, 5 minutes warning. So let's just say the civil defense tone went off saying America is under attack, and this is not actually happening. This is an example. I want to be clear about that, but as a hypothetical only, if we were told that Russian missiles are on their way, you have 15 minutes, how many of you would actually know what to do? And more importantly, where would you go? Seriously, where would you go? When is the last time you saw a sign that said fallout shelter, civil defense shelter? I haven't seen one of those in years. Fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, if we are ever attacked by Russia or China, there is no place for us to go anymore. Do you not understand that? As near as I can figure out from the reading I've done, the best, and maybe we've got some veterans or something who can chime in on this, but the best thing you can do if you've got a basement is go into the basement and hope for the best. And even then, let's say you survive the initial blast wave. There's also radiation and there's also fallout. And the only thing you can do about fallout is put material between you and the source of the fallout, which means you're going to be living in your basement for an indeterminate amount of time, which will probably make COVID seem like a walk in the park. We have absolutely zero civil defense capabilities in the United States of America if, God forbid, this country was under nuclear attack. And I happen to believe that's because anybody with any common sense understands that in the event America was under nuclear attack, we're all screwed. We're all going to die, if not sooner, then later. And I'd rather die in the first 100th of a second than have a slow, lingering radiation death. I don't know about you, but that's just me. But we have no emergency preparedness. We don't have supplies of government cheese and water that are stored underground to sustain us during the period of nuclear winter. Now, granted, EAS is used for many things. It's used for blizzards, except for 22. It's used for It's used for tornadoes, as I mentioned earlier. Hurricanes. It's used for hurricanes. They didn't activate. They didn't request us to activate it for the blizzard of 22, which I think was a horrible mistake. I've said so for quite some time now. Anyway, anybody? Do you have any thoughts on this at all? I'm kind of curious. And Tanner's even more curious. I saw his ad on Craigslist, which was really unbecoming, I thought. But it's 803. Tanner, are you giving me that I'm going to HR look suddenly? After Stagliano took out his banana, you're going to give me that look? All right. 803, not literally. I mean, his actual Chiquita banana. 803-0930, star 930, like a seat on a bicycle, Tanner. Remember banana seat bicycles? No, you're too young. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. When things hit the fan, like, what do you do? I mean, what would you do if your cell phone ceased working? I mean, in the event of an EMP, electromagnetic pulse attack on America, you understand nothing's going to work, right? X isn't going to work. Facebook isn't going to work. Nothing is going to work. Everything is going to be knocked right out, and we're going to be living like the Amish, except I can't grow a beard. 803, not a full one, Tanner can. Apparently, he has more testosterone than I. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I personally think, for the most part, EAS is a waste of time. If you're talking about a national major catastrophe, maybe for a local situation, I can see some value to it. But if America is ever under attack by nuclear weapons, you're screwed, okay? We're all going to die. It's that simple. 803-0930, except the president. He'll be like in a mountain somewhere, and he won't know the difference anyway between being in a mountain and being in his bedroom. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Here we go. This is what I wanted yesterday.
For the streets of Rome are filled with rubble. Aged footprints are everywhere.
Yep, I've been on a Bob Dylan tear lately. Sorry,
you
Bob.
You can almost think that you're seeing double.
I have now numbered your days, apparently.
On a cold, dark night on the Spanish stage.
All right. Anyway, it's Bowerly News Radio 930 WBEN. So in the event of an actual emergency, tell me what you would do. Now, the emergency alert system just went off on your phone. Did it freak you out? Did it get your attention? Or did you miss it because your phone was on mute or vibrate? I like to put mine on vibrate and repeatedly call myself, actually. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Dave in Bergen as he battles swamp water coming in over his boots filled with rattlesnakes. You're on the air, Dave. Welcome to WBEN.
Thank you, Tom. I have a big question because I turned one radio on to a 50,000-watt station in Rochester, and I also have WBEN on because I'm right in between the two stations. And then I actually turned on my television to the cable weather news, and the weather news, the screen went black. Both the radios worked fine. My phone just had a little digital wording about the alert, but no noise. And I'm wondering, who do I contact if, like, for instance, my television alert didn't work?
Well, my understanding, because we did not play over this radio station, unless people heard it in the background, we were not required to participate in this test of the emergency alert system, and I was watching TV just like you were, and apparently they weren't either. This was a situation cell phone only, I guess. Cell phone only. I'm not sure what they did on the internet. I was looking at my email. I didn't see anything. But this was a, my understanding is it was a cell phone test.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I heard it on the radio station in Rochester.
Right.
They played it. And I thought I heard it on WBEN, but I'm not.
Hold on a minute, because you know what? I don't have the log. Hey, Tanner, on our log, were we supposed to have played the EAS tone at 220? Because you're on top of that stuff.
It was not in the log, but it did go over the air. That's why if you saw Al was in here with me, he was supervising that.
Oh, yes. You know what? Because I didn't hear it because I had my headphones on. I was talking. So, yeah, we did have it over the air. I just, at the radio station, the IFB, I don't get sometimes what goes out over the air, but we did it. Why the station in Rochester did not, I do not know. But primarily, my understanding is that this was a test for the most part of the newer technology, the cell phone technology. That's the best I can do off the top of my head. I wasn't expecting a call like this. I thought pretty much everybody was going to have the same opportunity to ignore the test.
Well, to answer your question, what would I do if I had 15 minutes to prepare for incoming, I would grab a big can of red paint and I would paint a great big target on my roof.
And okay, why is that? Because you know that in less than the time it takes to blink your eyes, you're going to be vaporized?
Virtually, yes.
Well, unfortunately, I'm pretty sure Bergen is not a top target of either the Chinese, the Soviets, or for that matter, the North Koreans.
Just in case they wanted to be off a little bit, you know, in case they wanted to miss New York City a little bit. I just wanted to make sure they had a target to aim for.
Well, unfortunately for us, the ballistics technology has improved to the point where instead of missing by half a mile, they now might miss by 3 feet. And that's over the span of however many thousands of miles the launch takes place over. But I mean, if you think about it, Dave, in the event of a nuclear exchange, which was a very polite way of saying, in the event of the end of the world, what the hell are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. I mean, exactly. What, you think you're going to go to Tops, Wegmans, or Aldi's and get food? Good luck with that, because they're going to probably be obliterated. Stuff in your house will be unusable. We have absolutely no civil defense program in America whatsoever for the civilian population like we did way back when. And even way back when, do you remember, Dave? And it's interesting because we took calls from people. I specifically got into the Cuban Missile Crisis of October 1962. It's 13 days, Robert Kennedy. And at that point, there were fallout shelters where people could go to avoid the fallout. And those were stocked with like crackers, cheese, water that you could actually drink. But just ponder like what happened at the Superdome during the hurricane, and you get thousands of people in one space eating, drinking, excreting, and that's presuming the sewer systems actually work after a nuclear attack. You're going to be up to your ears in poo.
Exactly. And I remember when I was back in high school.
Some of you might like that.
Go down to the basement, and there would be the big cans down in there, the civil defense cans that were filled with water, and then on the printed on the side it said can be used for human waste after it's been emptied. drink it up and then you can fill it up.
Oh my, okay, and that's enough of that excremental talk. I'm sorry I brought it up, but do you ever, I mean, seriously, I probably spend way too much time thinking about this. In the event of a nuclear exchange, a nuclear war between the United States, Russia, United States, China, United States, and now North Korea. Thank you, Bill Clinton. In the event of that happening, the only thing we can do is look out for ourselves. And then you have to ask yourself the existential question that maybe some of you asked during COVID. Look what happened during COVID. The suicide rate skyrocketed. The mental health situation deteriorated dramatically. Suicide rates, as I mentioned, they went up. Can you imagine being cooped up in your basement to avoid fallout shelter month after month after month after month? Well, to avoid fallout underneath a shelter. I mean, frankly, I'm sorry, I'd rather die in the first blast like you.
Right.
I mean, if you were president of the United States, would you do anything to improve our civil defense, or given the amount of time or the lack thereof? Because remember, we operate on the nuclear triad system. You've got ballistic submarines, okay, which can offer a counterpunch. You've got airborne nukes like B-52s, nuclear equipped, that are always flying around. And you've got the ICBMs out in the prairie. So you've got a triad. So even if all of our bombers were taken down, even if all of our ICBMs were wiped out on the ground, we still have the submarines. And they'd at least get in a couple of licks.
Yep. Oh, and by the way, they have the submarines, too.
Oh, yeah, that's an excellent point. In fact, during the Cuban Missile Crisis, it was only because of a very brave Soviet military person that World War III did not start. The captain of the sub wanted to launch. He believed that his sub was under attack, and I think he could not reach Moscow, and he said, uh-oh, we need to launch, we need to counterpunch, and the second in command swallowed the key. Now, why they didn't eviscerate him, I don't know why they didn't eviscerate him to get it out, especially given the Soviet Union of that era, but we came so close. And there have been other times where we've had close calls with nuclear war because of like 25-cent diodes.
Exactly.
So it's a very uncomfortable feeling. I mean, okay, let's just say that President Biden or President Trump or President Herbert Hoover comes back from the dead and they're in the White House. Let's say they've got enough time to get to Mount Weather or some protected structure. Okay, congratulations. You're now the president of what? A whole bunch of rubble and dead bodies. Yeah, you. Well done.
Exactly. I mean, maybe a few people in Cheyenne Mountain will survive for a little while.
Yeah, for a little while. And I'm sorry, but what point is there in survival if there's no football? I mean, I'm sorry. But we've been there before. Even COVID drove people crazy. An all-out nuclear war, forget about it.
Yep. So that's why I want a big can of red paint and put a target on my roof.
Well, better yet, the best way to make sure that something hits what you want it to hit is just wash and wax your car. And I guarantee that a bird flying at 4 miles altitude is going to peg your front windshield every time. My thank you for your call from Bergen. Quick question. Let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that there was a nuclear war. How long do you think you could actually last at your house, provided it wasn't totally destroyed and you actually had a basement to serve as some kind of fallout shelter?
I could probably last a year with what we have stored away in the freezer. And, of course, if there's no electricity, the freezer is going right away.
But bingo.
I've got a month's worth of, say, MREs and that sort of thing.
And let's put it this way, a month's worth? Can we be really honest? You're going to have to stretch that into about a year's worth there won't be any crops because there will be nuclear winter and the sun will not penetrate the dust that is raised by an all-out nuclear war. I mean, that's the one good thing about nuclear war. It's like the option that you really can't choose, because if you do, you die first. And that was the whole you're going to die eventually. That was the whole basis of the mutually assured destruction policy that we followed during the Cold War. The idea being nobody wants to first strike, because even a limited second strike with the submarines is going to wreck your day.
Exactly.
All right, Dave. I appreciate your call very much. Thank you. I wonder how many of you listening in the military took part in some of the atomic testing that was done in the South Pacific or in the desert of the Southwest. I mean, talk about guinea pigs. I wonder how many of you are still alive. Maybe you had a father or a grandfather who did that. And it's amazing to me to watch those old films. There's a movie called Atomic Cafe or The Atomic Cafe. And all I can say is after watching that, I would just as soon be vaporized in the first strike and not know what hit me, like the fly that hit your windshield on The Youngman, you know? 803, this is just lovely, uplifting talk, isn't it? Tanner, you've turned a little green around the gills, my friend. What's up? Depressing the hell out of you?
I mean, I should be used to it by now. I mean, that's... I mean, just watching the news anymore, you always get the latest in blood and guts and depressing topics. So it's nothing out of the ordinary, I suppose.
Well, I mean, yesterday's was a real pick-me-up, breast cancer. So 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, look, the EAS test in limited circumstances in a limited area for a manageable event, such as the blizzard, such as a tornadic situation, you know what? I can see it. But as far as if the Russian nukes or Chinese nukes are coming in, what's the point of even telling the American people? Because we've got nowhere to go. We're all going to go to the Metro Rail. Good luck with that. Let's go to, traffic. Let's go to Marty in Cheektowaga. Marty, you're on WBEN. Did your phone go nuts at about 18 minutes after 2?
Oh, I had that disabled, Tom. Oh. Marty, the leader of the Progressive Street Gang. Hey, real quick.
Progressive Street Gang. Dude, that is such a great title. That's like Mayfield Road Gang, Purple Gang. I think you need personally.
Ask our friend Captain Butch, Garcia's guy.
Yeah. He'll tell you all about it. I know Captain Butch quite well. Thank you. Actually, he does not like the name Butch. It's actually Eddie.
We never called him that. Never. Well,
I got that from my dad. So my dad is to blame for that, but my dad mangled names as badly as I. So what's on your mind, sir?
Well, 1975, I was friends with he worked for Sports Service. My friend Bobby, his mom and dad ran the concession. So my first job at 15, we went to the auditorium. So eventually, you know, we stocked the beer coolers. You got them little tow carts that went up the cement ramps back and forth. But in the bowels and the depths of the auditorium, they had green civil defense commodes, empty barrels. There was no water anywhere, but these were just empty barrels. And they were stocked as far stuffed in, almost like an attic that you couldn't see. Hundreds of them all over the inside of the bowels of the auditorium. But, you know, same thing. But they had them stored there in the Memorial Auditorium.
Well, I mean, look, I'd like to hear from people who were children during the Cold War, the 50s and 60s, who, yeah, when they had the civil defense drills, went into the basement of the schools.
I did, School 60. I kneeled down, put my head between my knees. School 60.
Oh, yes, because in the event of a multi-kiloton nuclear blast, putting your head between your legs is definitely an effective countermeasure.
Yeah, sure. That'll do something. But no, that was good times. Matter of fact, a quick tangent. The very first day I went, I can say the last name.
No last names. All right, please.
Weekend we went there was the Fog game when Philadelphia and the Sabres. It was May. It was so hot. They had that layer of fog on the ice.
Yep.
We had to rush around all the way up, find any stand. They had them big standing fans, you know, back then, the big, huge fans. We had to get our dolly cart. You know, we had a tow motor like the airport has. And we went and found all the fans, and we set the fans up down on the base, you know, right along the perimeter of the rink there.
Didn't do any good. You also skated around with sheets on the ice. Remember that?
Well, all I know, that was a good run. 4 years, man.
Hey, how Rene Robert beat Bernie Parent through the fog on that shot. I watched it a million times. I still don't see the goal going in.
But that was what a strange event that was. But no, it was cool. The auditorium was full of stuff like that. Back then, I wish I would have pilfered a few and stored them and had it like a collectible nowadays.
So, yeah, but okay,
Jack Dorsey from Twitter didn't know that. Could have stocked up on that stuff.
Time out. Okay.
You know what I'm talking about, right? Jack Dorsey from Twitter. He analyzes goods every weekend.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that.
Okay.
The mentality, but right. I digress. The fact of the matter is, you say, well, I wish I would have kept some of those as a collectible. Dude, that is the biggest mistake people make when they want to have a decluttered, minimalized lifestyle, is they think like that. They think, well, I should hold on to that. That might be worth money someday. You know what I've been doing the past couple of months? I've been throwing stuff out right and left.
I know. I follow you, but my cellar's full of stuff. I was just over on Grand Island at my sister's farm trying to sell stuff Saturday. I sell on eBay. I gave up on Facebook Marketplace because it's totally brain dead and everybody's a window shopper. So, yeah, I know what you mean, man. I got a load going to the AmVets coming up right now.
Oh, good for you. Good for you. All right, man. Well, you help out the AmVets.
You want to buy some old albums?
Dude, no. I'm unloading stuff. I'm getting rid of stuff.
Led Zeppelin 4, man.
Dude.
Michael Jackson's Thriller.
You know what?
Right at it.
I'm sure somebody out there who's a vinyl freak is going to be more than happy to buy those. You take it to a store. Make sure you get fair market value for it.
That's
but
okay.
You have no idea the stuff that I've unloaded just in the past week. Ask the UPS store. They're sick of seeing me.
I've been selling on eBay for 20 years. I'm about everything. I know all about it.
Well, okay, but being a gigolo, sir, is technically against the law, and you could actually be cited with some charges that you'd rather not have in the paper, okay?
Just so I got a lady here that shakes her head. Said, what do you bring that home for? Well, if I can get 10 or 5 bucks for it, I'll try.
Because you've got a good lady. Let me take a wild guess, Polish.
No, not at all.
No, what is she?
Even though we do live in Cheek to Vegas.
But what is she?
Neither of us are Polish.
What is she? Huh? Everything?
Maiden name was Johnson, so.
Oh, that tells a lot.
Exactly
all
sure.
Right, maybe Irish, English, possibly Swedish, depending on whether they copied it right in the manifest at the point of departure.
I'll have to check into that.
I've been
together 20 years, so.
All right. You've been with her 20 years, and you don't know her ancestry. Okay.
That was a good gig, though, working at the auditorium 4 years.
Yep.
That was great.
Oh, I would imagine.
Did it all.
And Jim Lorentz, I was so sorry for the bat that Jim Lorentz killed during that era.
You know what? I have a pair of ice skates from Jim Lorentz.
Jim Lorentz is truly a wonderful, wonderful guy. I thought he was an excellent color commentator for the Buffalo Sabres, and I thought he got a raw deal.
When Frankie Christie was a trainer, and Ripper put 50 years in there, we actually got our ice skates sharpened. I had sticks whenever I wanted them. We took coffee supplies up. We filled up the locker room. I walked in and out during the French Connection era, like, hey.
I know the security code to get into the arena if I really had to. But thank you very much, Marty.
Right,
I appreciate the call.
Like I said, they took advantage of that big place. Have a good day, Tom.
It's always a good day in my world. It's a beautiful day outside. I don't know where this weather was in July. Remember being out in July at a local golf course / entertainment center with a blanket on us because we were freezing. Not today, though. A little bit warm. Chad, are you okay in there? Because I'm starting to sweat bullets, my man.
Oh, that's why I wore just the tank top underneath here.
And I wish I would have worn a tank. I thought I had a tank top on underneath this. I screwed that up.